If you're taking notes, I've entitled this, Be a Light, exclamation point, Be a Light. Let's turn to Galatians, and I just want to go over some scripture real quick. Just kind of an overview first of some passages in Galatians, because I want you to catch kind of the feel of this freedom that God wants us to walk in. You ever see somebody who's just free?
Yes.
And they're happy and they're carefree, and it's just like, man, everything must be just going good for you. Well, probably not everything is just going. I believe that most people like that, it's not because everything's going good for them. It's just because they've learned to be free in Christ Jesus. That's why, you know what I mean? So I want to just go over a couple passages real quickly. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Somebody say, Christ made me free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, everybody said entangled again. No. Don't be entangled again. You're free. Amen. So don't go back to what, no, Christ set you free, so don't be entangled again. You know what I mean? You don't need to go there. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This is out of the Message. My counsel is this. Live freely. Animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed on compulsions of selfishness. See, be free. Be free. The Spirit of the Lord is a spirit of freedom. Amen. So feed on that spirit. It's so important. You pray every day. You get in the word every day. Just a chapter a day, but you get in the word. Why? Because Jesus said, my words are spirit in their life. And the Spirit brings freedom. How many of you ever experienced this? You're just reading the Bible, and it's like, oh, I'm so stressed. I'm so angry. I'm so mad. I'm so upset. I'm so blah, 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 blah. And you read your scripture, and you're like, oh, everything's okay. What happened? Here's what happened. The Spirit of God, those words, my words are spirit in their life. Those spirit, you ate some good spiritual food, and that spiritual food caused you to go, right? Because the Spirit brings freedom. Is this making sense? Galatians, you know this scripture, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You're free. We talked about it, I think, last Sunday, the Sunday before. You can't tempt somebody who's dead. Amen? You can't tempt somebody who's dead. You can put any sin in front of them. They ain't going to be tempted. They're going to be cool cat. Ain't going to tempt me. That's what Paul's saying. The life I live now, you know what? My old life is dead. When your old life is dead, you're free. You're free. You're like, amen. So, okay. Is this making sense? Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. I marvel that you return, that you are returning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now, Paul is this book in Galatians wasn't written to one church. It was written to several churches in this area called Galatia. And so these Jewish people primarily came in there, and they started telling these people who are now following Christ that, you know what, you need to follow Christ, but you need to do it in this law way. And Paul's like, you're free. So he says, I'm tripping out. That's why I marvel. I'm tripping out that you guys are going back to this. Verse 7, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. It's very important that you go to a church that you're called to go to, but you're going to a church where they're opening up the Bible and teaching out of the Word of God. One of the reasons I want you to bring your Bible is because I want you to open it yourself. I want you to see. And you can read before, and you can read after, and you can see. I'm not taking something out of context and coming up with some funky gospel. Verse 8, but even if you or an angel of heaven preach another gospel to you than that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. There's a lot of perversion in the gospel going around. As we have said before, so now we say it again, emphasizing saying something so important again, trying to remind people, this is so critical, that say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. Guys, this is really, really important. Amen. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 21. Afterward, I went into the region of Syria and... And Cecilia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea and were in Christ, but they were hearing only... He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith that he once tried to destroy. There's freedom in Christ Jesus. And Paul gets free. And now he's like, man, let me tell you what. That's who I was, but that's not who I am anymore. Now I'm preaching the gospel. And then Galatians chapter 10, I'm just trying to give you a overview of freedom. Galatians chapter 10. For we do not, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. He's saying, well, look, let me tell you why I'm free. I'm free because I'm not trying to please people. I'm trying to please God. Amen. 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 All right. So if we are going to be influencers, if we're going to be a light, if we are going to help influence our family, our loved ones, people around us, if we're going to do this as a church, let me teach you very quickly some things that will help. Number one, we need to seek God's approval above all else. Man, we are... We as a society are so insecure. What do they think? What do they think? What do they think? What do they like? This? You know what I mean? We are, and Paul's like, listen. Well, let's look at it again, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Or if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of a God. See, understand this. If you want, remember that song, kind of, you know what, 70s, 80s song, you know, and it went something like this, you know what, you can't please everyone, so you need to please yourself. Remember this song? Somebody? Thank you. One, okay. Can you sing it for it? No, I'm just joking. Okay. I'm trying to remember the tune. I would sing it for you. I just remember the words. But you know what? This guy said, you know what? You can't please everybody, so just please yourself. Well, I don't agree to that. I'll say you can't please everybody, so figure out what God is saying to you. And make sure you're pleasing him first. Make sure he's the main person that you're trying to please. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Look at this up on the screen with us. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, you want to be an influencer? Care about what God says. And then what's going to happen is now you're going to lead. See, listen, it's about leadership. It's about you being a leader in your home. God in this church is raising up leaders to lead. You're getting teaching after teaching after teaching, line upon line, precept upon precept. And God, I don't know if you recognize, God is raising leaders up. You're changing your mindset. And what's happening is you're going to get to the place where you really, really care about what God thinks and his principles. And just in just hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word, you're going to start to, and you are starting to be obedient to what God thinks. And people are watching you. And now, where before, they knew who you were. You were just wishy-washy. You were just, you know, here and there and all over the page. And there was nothing. Listen, you weren't leading anyone. Nobody would follow you because you weren't leading them. But now, if you really want to lead, don't care about what people think. Care about what God thinks. Let your light so shine before men. All I care about is God, in you I live and move and have my being. You are my source. You're the one that's going to bring me joy. You're the ones who's going to bring me peace. You are, you know what, you are the one. I love what Peter told Jesus. They were saying, hey, you know what? Everybody was leaving. Christ started saying some hard things. And everybody started leaving. And Jesus says, hey, you guys going to leave too? Peter says this, who else? Where are we going to go? Listen to me. Lincoln Brewster said it like this. The world has nothing for you. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have the answer. Why are you looking into them? They don't know. But God knows. He's the one who's wise. And so when you tap into his wisdom, all of a sudden you'll start walking in this confidence, you'll start walking in this security. This, you know what? And then all of a sudden people are going to look and go, oh, that's, you know why they looked at Jesus? You know what the teaching style was up to that point? The main purpose in the Jewish rabbis was to figure out what everyone else said and don't say anything controversial in what they said. So these Jewish leaders would stand up and they just would speak like, you know what, in this very politically correct, non-offensive way, because I don't want to say anything different than anybody else said. And Jesus stood up and said, hey, you heard it said like this? Well, let me tell you what. You know, you heard it said that all you have to do is, you know what, write this, certificate of divorce. You know what, let me tell you what's up. You know what, that is not what I'm talking about. You hear people say all kinds of stuff, let me tell you what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know what, you checking out those women, let me tell you what that's about. That's about lust. It's going on in your heart. And you know what? And you're committing adultery. And that's what's up. You know what? You're going around saying, man, this person like this And that person like that, and I don't like them, and I don't want to. And Jesus is like, oh my goodness. I've gotten real with you on this passage, but can I get real? Can I give you a good exegete of this passage? Hello? It's pretty in your face. Jesus is like, are you kidding? You setting yourself to go to hell. But you read it yourself. You know what? They're teaching, oh, you didn't do anything, no one making a difference. There's not, hell don't even exist. You know how many people don't believe hell even exists? Jesus is like, and back then that was the same thing true. You can say whatever you want, you know what, call this person that, call that person this, and you're fine. Jesus said, I'm telling you what, you're setting yourself to go to hell. That's what you're doing. Hello? And you listen, and I'm going to talk about Sunday about the importance for us. Please don't miss Sunday. Sunday's going to be off the hook message. But all I'm telling, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just saying, when you start saying there's right and there's wrong, and I don't have a spirit of condemnation, self-righteousness to you, I'm just going to live my life the way I know what is right to do. And there is a right and there is a wrong. And I'm going to live holy because the Bible says that I should be an imitator of God. Be holy for God is holy. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm going to do. And I'm not, you know what, I'm not condemning you. I just need to get it. I've been, love you guys. I've been stupid long enough in my life. Can somebody say amen? Let me give it to you in scripture. Paul says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But I'm acting like a man now. I'm putting away that foolishness. And you start saying that, and it's not just saying it, but they see it. You're being a light before other people that are around you, before men, and they see, you know what, that you're not just talking about it, now you're acting it, and what happens is they're going to say, man, let me tell you what, let me glorify your God. Where you go to church? They'll start listening to your behavior. Now I'm getting way in front of me, but your behavior verifies your authenticity. I'm really sold out. Are you learning something? See, so listen. But you've got to. Your main desire has got to be to seek God's approval, not anybody else's approval. Can we go a little deeper in this? I know we're spending some time, but this is important. Galatians chapter 2, and look at verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. This is Paul talking about this confrontation he has with Peter. Because he was to blame. Next verse. For before... concerning men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Well, here's what's going on. Before, he'd eat with anybody. But then these Jewish people started coming, and when the Jewish people started coming, then it was like, I ain't going to In-N-Out with you. Right? He was like, but before he was going to In-N-Out with them. And Paul's like, what's up with this? Okay, next verse. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Here, you should watch this. You know what? Listen, this is Peter. And understand the dynamics. Peter had been with Jesus. Remember, Peter was one of the three. He not only was one of the 12, he was one of the three. You know what? right? You know what? He'll say, hey, you three, come on over here. I want to go over some stuff with you. You know who was one of that three? Peter was one of the three. Was Paul there? Paul wasn't even there. Paul was like, man, Paul was out there. He wasn't converted. He was out there. Then he started, you know what I mean? And see, and so and you got to understand those dynamics. Because who is Paul to confront Peter? Well, let me tell you who Paul was to confront Peter. Paul didn't care about what people thought. Paul cared about what God thought. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Sunday I'm going to talk about judging. And please understand that that ministry comes out of relationship. Okay. So we are very, very careful. We are our brother's keeper. But we are very, very, very gracious when we go to bring correction to somebody. That doesn't mean we don't bring correction to somebody. It means there's a way to do it. And I'm going to teach you how to do it. I'm going to teach you some things on Sunday. It's going to be very helpful. Okay. But he's willing to do it because he cares more about God than what people are going to say about him. Okay. Now, can we go deeper than this? Okay. But I'm asking first because I'm about to go somewhere. Jesus went there. But once you hear this, now you're accountable for it. Can I still go there? Some of you think, oh. Can I still go there? All right, you said yes, amen. I gave you the option. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Again, please let's put it in context. This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking. He who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Next verse. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. God is saying to them, but God is saying this to us. Hey, guys, don't put anything in front of me. Don't put anything in front of me. And I know, and Jesus, listen to me. Jesus is, how many know Jesus didn't just pick this example randomly? How many, Jesus said, you know what, that he wouldn't say anything the Father didn't tell him to say. This isn't a random, father and mother, daughter and son. No, this isn't random. This is knowing how people are. People put family members in front of God. And what I'm teaching you, how many would like to see your family come to Christ? Don't put your family in front of Christ. Tamara said this. At that time, she was just my girlfriend. But I loved her. But I didn't love her more than God. And so when I had a conversation with her to say, hey, I'm moving back in with my parents. There's this city. It's called La Puente. And it's a nice city, but it might not be as nice as Newport Beach. But it's going to be nice because I'm going to be up there. And she was like, well, okay, see you later, Jackson. I was like, what's up with that? What's up with that? You know what? Now, let me tell you what's up with that. But she says that when I said, here's what I said, You do what you got to do. I'm going to do what I got to do. That was a major, listen to me, a major component in her recognizing the passion that I had for God. She, you know what she did? She saw my good works and she glorified God. Amen. See, it was a major, because here's what she knew. She knew I loved the beach. I loved the beach. I lived, you know what, from here to Home Depot, and I'd be watching the waves. And from here to that school, and I was at my work. I mean, I had it shakalakaim, bro. Okay. But can I tell you what? No. That's a deception. Because let me tell you who will please you. Let me tell you who will make you happy. Let me tell you where contentment comes. It don't come from a beach. It don't come from a position. It doesn't come from family. It doesn't come from a girlfriend. It don't come from it. Let me tell you where it comes from. In Him. You know what? He is the one. All good gifts come from Him. And when He told me get up, let me tell you what. God was setting me up for blessings that I never would have walked in if I didn't say, God, you know more than me. So you know what I need, and you're calling me to get up there and be part and be under Pastor Bradford. You know what? I look at all the blessings that came from me being obedient in that one area. And let me tell you what. I'm saying this because I love you. It's an area that if you allow your family to trip you up, Pastor, my family, they're coming from Michigan, and they got tickets to go to Disneyland, and God won't care if I miss Sunday. Oh my goodness. God is speaking to us today. Listen to me. There is this casual, it's part of the problem. There's this casualness. It's like, hey. I tell you, I go to church when it's everything when I want to go to church. And God's cool with that. Because God's love. And listen, and that's what we think. Instead of going, no. God has got a message. God has got a system. God is trying to grow me up in Christ. God has put a pastor and pastors over me, and He's got this program to change my way of thinking. And part of that program is that I am not going to forsake the gathering of the brethren, because I've got to hear what pastor's got. Can I tell you what? Mickey Mouse is not going to give you the word that you, listen, what do you think? I mean, really, guys, I love you. What do you think? You know what? The messages are met. This is going to sound so, please, God, help people to receive this. The messages that Tamara and I are ministering to you are the word from the Lord to your situation. And we act like the church is the bowling alley. You know what I mean? How many know if you go bowling or you don't go bowling, it's not going to have a revolutionary point in your life. You know what I mean? And we're just, I don't want to, but Pastor, I don't want to offend my family. Really? Really? You know who I don't want to offend? I don't want to offend God. I don't want to miss worship. I don't want to miss you guys. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. You know what? I mean, but listen, I've told you this before. Get up early. Get some Eggo waffles, man. Put them in the toaster. Put the thing down. Get the Aunt Jemima syrup. I highly recommend it. Pay the extra 38 cents. It's worth it. And you know what? And go ahead and say, here's the stuff. You know what? I'll meet you. You know, when you're done, I'll meet you at home. But as for me, let me tell you what we do. See, could your family be what Tamar was? See, have the only people, the only Christians that they've seen is Christians that aren't really committed to Christ. And that's why they just go, whatever, you know what I mean? Oh yeah, you're a Christian, but not really, because you just do whatever you want, just like somebody, just like I do. What I'm saying is, no, lead them. Show them some integrity. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Oh, are you learning something? Okay.
Yeah.
we'll fly through. We spent a lot of time on verse on step one, but that's okay. Number two, find God's mission for your life. Find God's mission for your life. You know what? I heard one person say, you know what? It don't make any difference. It don't make any difference where my children go to church as long as they're going to church. Wait, before you say amen to that, please don't say amen to that. Here's what the Bible says. Run the race that I have set before you. No. Listen. And let me say this. You know what? There are so many people, you know what? I mean, as many people as we have here, as many people as we're going to have Sunday, they're going to be, you know what, there's all these people, all these points of offense to you. You know what I mean? And you know what, she did that, and he did that, and I don't like this, and I don't like this. Well, hey, listen, if you're looking for a perfect church, you have not found it. But see, that's just a setup for you to leave and go to another church that's not perfect, but that church is not only not perfect, but you're not even called to that church. And then you go to another one, then you go to another one, and then pretty soon you're just like, oh, I don't know, it's all good. You know what I mean? And I mean, there is craziness taking place in the body of Christ. Amen. Oh, Pastor, I don't go to church. I go to a women's Bible study. Oh, my goodness. you know what? You don't have a pastor. You think that's okay? Well, we're studying the Word. Well, if you're studying the Word, wouldn't you understand that God has called pastors to oversee you, to build you up, to establish you, to be able to be effective in the work of the ministry? You know, and we're going to start, you know what, doing this women's group soon. But years and years and years ago, when we started, one of the reasons why we shut down the women's group is because more women came to the women's group that didn't come to our church than those who came to our church. So what's wrong with that? There's not necessarily anything wrong with that. Watch this. Follow me, please. Except that those women who weren't part of a church but came to our women's group never assimilated to the church. So what are they doing? They're coming time after time. Time after time they're coming. Ooh, we love this women's group. Ooh, we love this women's group. Ooh, we love this women's group. Okay, but here's what they're saying. But I won't submit to any pastor. But I won't submit to any pastor. But I'm just on my own. I just like, you know what, getting fed. Oh, my goodness. You know what? No. We will not entertain that foolishness. You can say amen better than that. That is foolishness. It is absolute foolishness. What's my point? Understand, there's a calling on your life. There's a mission on your life. You know, what are you called to do? You're called to do something here. You're not only called to be here, but then you're called to do something here. Amen? No, Pastor, I just come to church and I just take in all the food. No. And Tamara and I are so proud because in this church, we have so many people who come, but they're involved in ministry. And we thank God for it. And let me just say this. If you get involved in ministry, my preaching will get better. Hey, listen. Watch it. How many know that's kind of a little trick, okay? Because the truth is, my preaching ain't really going to get better. But because you step up to a higher level, you're going to be able to receive so much more. Because what you're doing is you're not, how many know at some point in time, the sponge can't take anything more in? Okay. But when you're actively doing something in the church, now you're wringing out the sponge. And now you're, and think about it. I can't, you know, what am I to do? Ooh, let me grab the guitar. Right. Ooh, let me play the bongos. Ooh, let me play the keyboard. Ooh, hang on. Let me grab the guitar again. Oh, let me work on the bathroom. Let me clean the toilet. Oh, let me help. You know what? That is craziness. No, you know what I should be doing? I should be praying and reading the word and studying the word and hearing what God has. That doesn't mean I'm better than you. It just means you need to do the talents that God has given you. What talents has he given you? Listen, somebody hear me. Those talents are given to you that you were created for good works. Oh, I know all those talents are given me. You don't know this. Phil Collins was probably called, I hate using names, but I already did, so let me know who Phil Collins is. Phil Collins was probably called to be a worship leader. I know Phil Collins would be an awesome worship leader. I could go on, I don't want to name names, but what do you think that talent was given to him for? To glorify God. Amen. Last point, invest the time it takes to establish your credibility. Invest the time it takes to establish your credibility. Okay, what am I saying? I'm just saying, don't think you're going to be like, you know what I mean? Oh, I've been helping in the kids ministry for 3 weeks. No, and that's good. But get into, understand the long-term thing that God's trying to do here. See, establish yourself. Get roots. Get under, you know what, good pastors. And then just allow God to start establish this stuff in you. And establish what God wants to do here in Pico Rivera. And you'll have a credibility, and we'll have credibility. You know, there's people who have come, they left, and they left for 5-10 years, and just this last, you know what, 3 months ago, they are back in the church. Amen. And you know what they see when they came in? They didn't go to the North Sanctuary. They came to the South Sanctuary. And they saw way more people than when they were in the North Sanctuary. But guess who was still here? I was still here. Hey, Pastor Drew, you're still pastoring. Amen. Yeah, you are. Yeah, I am. Amen. And I'm glad you're here. Because God has called you here. Did you learn some stuff? Amen. Father, we thank you for for the reality we are called to be influencers. I pray that these words would be quickening our spirit, that we would receive them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.